Look in your Bibles this morning. We're going to start in the book of Acts, chapter 15. Today's Sunday, August the 9th, 2026. The greatest understanding of what Jesus Christ accomplished for all of mankind, the greatest understanding comes from the book of Acts and the church epistles, especially the church epistles. When Adam sinned in the garden, what God originally intended for human beings was ruined. And ever since then, God planned and looked forward to the day that the Savior would come, the Messiah, to redeem mankind. And through all of those years, there were times when there were changes in how God dealt with his people. God's great love for human beings since the beginning has not changed. God still loves us very much. During the days of what we call the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, during those days, that was different than in the Garden of Eden. Things had changed. Then in the times of Moses, there was again a change. God dealt with his people in the Old Testament, starting with Moses, with the Old Testament law that was given. And when Jesus Christ came, the long-awaited Messiah, he was personally present. And Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, made known the Father. Jesus Christ taught extensively. He operated and demonstrated God's great love and power with many signs, miracles, and wonders. And then he gave his life. He laid down his life as a perfect sacrifice for all of mankind. And then God did something he had never done before. Raised him from the dead to die no more. There were people who had been raised from the dead, but no one had ever been raised from the dead to die no more. Jesus Christ still lives 2,000 years later. And then Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. And then came another change, a big change. This morning we're going to consider a little bit about that change. And when you think about it, why shouldn't there have been a huge change in how God was going to deal with human beings? His Son completed all that was necessary for mankind's redemption and salvation. So why shouldn't there then follow a great big change? What is the change here? Well, I think, as you know, that change began shortly after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, a few days later, on the day of Pentecost, which is, as you know, is in Acts chapter 2. The information concerning this change, we refer to it sometimes as the gospel, right? And gospel simply means joyful proclamation. So when we're speaking of this specific gospel, it's God's joyful proclamation concerning his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this gospel, this good news, began to spread all around the world. Many believed and accepted it. But in the early days of the church, there were some who had a problem with this. So we read in Acts chapter 15 is where we're going to start. Just, if you would back up just a little bit to gain a little bit of context to what we're about to read in chapter 15. But in chapter 14, God sent Paul and Barnabas on an itinerary. They went many places preaching God's word, signs, miracles, and wonders, people getting born again, saved, and then they returned to Antioch, which was a great center of outreach at that time. And in verse 14, 26, then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had, important to note here, opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And verse 28, and there they abode long time with the disciples. So they're there in Antioch. And verse 1 of chapter 15, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. These men came from Judea, Jerusalem. They were teaching that people who were not of Israel, Gentiles, they could not be saved until they were circumcised. In other words, you need to keep the Old Testament law. Well, were they right? Was this part of this new change that Gentiles could be a part of it as long as they kept the Old Testament law? Well, let's just keep reading here. When therefore, so now they're up in Antioch teaching this stuff, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, that seems like Paul and Barnabas did not agree with this very much. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Let's take this all the way to the top. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria. And as they were on their way, they're declaring, look at this, the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, all the believers, and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. In other words, these are people who were Pharisees, which is, they were, you know, religious, holy, holy people. People looked up to them, but they had, you know, quite a bit of influence, I guess is a better way to say that. But they got born again. They're saved. Paul was a Pharisee at one time. Let's read it again. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, it was needful to circumcise them. He's talking about the Gentiles. And not only that, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Keep the whole law. And the apostles and elders, not the whole church, but the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a great while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. He's referring obviously to when he went to Caesarea with Cornelius. And God, who knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them, the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. They got the Holy Spirit, these Gentiles. As still talking about God, and put no difference between us and them. No difference. Purifying their hearts by faith. And so as we look at some scriptures this morning, let's remember the word faith is better understood as believing or accepting information. Now therefore, why do you want to tempt God? Why do you want to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why do you want to put this on them? They got to keep the whole law. None of us could keep the whole law. You all know that. But believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. So Peter reminded them about the Gentiles in Caesarea at Cornelius' house that received Holy Spirit. In Acts 10 it says, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they knew they had received the gift of Holy Spirit because in Acts 10 it says they spoke in tongues. And then when Peter went back to Jerusalem, if you remember, they said, you were eating with Gentiles. You sat down and ate with them. And yeah, guess what? They received the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. And that's when they said, well, then hath God also to the Gentiles given them the same gift as us. Now here we are time later, and you got people saying, oh, well, they got to keep the whole law. A little bit squirrely, isn't it? In Galatians 2, you don't need to turn there, but in Galatians 2, Paul talked about this meeting that they're having here, which sometimes we say it's the Council of Acts 15. But in Galatians 2, Paul said that he communicated unto them the gospel that he was preaching. And that's interesting. So there was this big problem in the first century church. Some of the Judean people who accepted Christ but still wanted to keep the Old Testament law. And not only that, some of them were teaching that if the Gentiles got saved, they need to keep the law too and be circumcised. Because of the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God did something no one saw coming. God made salvation and all his blessings available to anyone who would believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, including Gentiles. So let's go to, we'll finish this record up in just a bit, but go to Ephesians 3. You probably know where I'm going, but Ephesians chapter 3, well, let's start in verse 3. How that by revelation, 3:3 of Ephesians, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. God made this secret known to me, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Well, what is this great mystery? It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, heirs together, and of the same body, and partakers, share fully together of his promises in Christ by the gospel. God's blessings on both Jews and Gentiles. No one saw this coming because God kept it a secret and then revealed it to Paul, the mystery. So many of the people from the Jewish background that got saved had a big problem with this. Why would they? Well, very easy to understand, because for centuries, Israel, the Jews, knew that they and they alone, of all the people in the world, were God's chosen people. Everyone else, the nations, Gentiles. Remember when that Gentile woman went to Jesus Christ and wanted help for her daughter that was having some spiritual problems? And Jesus Christ said, it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. He said that to her? Yeah. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ was a minister to Israel. You know, and then she went, well, okay, but the dogs get to eat some crumbs from the master's table. Jesus Christ said, wow, that's some great believing you got there. Let's take care of this. But you, in the Old Testament law, you were not to have anything to do with Gentiles. You don't go to their house. You don't touch them. You don't have anything to do with them. Because we're God's chosen people and everybody else is Gentiles. That's why they had a problem. And now you're telling me that the Gentiles could just walk in and have it all? The best example I can give, because that's hard for us to understand, because we're not part of that culture. We didn't grow up thinking we were, for centuries, the chosen of God and everybody else. It's hard for us to understand that. But suppose we got up this morning and found out that Congress passed a law last night that every human being on the face of this earth, doesn't matter what country, doesn't matter what nationality, every person on earth has the same rights as American citizens. You can vote, you can own land, you can get elected to public office, no ID required, no papers, we're just all, everybody on the planet has the same rights as we here in the United States. Would we just go, well, that's cool?
No.
We go, what? So that's a bit of an example. So some of these guys went to Antioch and were teaching the believers, you gotta get circumcised in order to be saved, have salvation. Was that part of this new change? Well, if you back up to chapter 2 of Ephesians, chapter 2 of Ephesians says, Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through believing, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. So when they were teaching, you got to get circumcised to get saved, that's not the gospel. No wonder Paul and Barnabas had much disputation with them. And verse 9 even clarifies it more. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We do good works not to get saved. We do good works because we are saved. It's not of works. God's word is so clear that salvation, being saved, is by grace. It's a gift. Eternal life's a gift. Look at Romans chapter 3. As we read a little bit in Romans this morning, I'll be giving a little added understanding on some of the verses where the word faith comes up, just to help us see it a little clearer. So we're going to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, there's been a change. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Oh my goodness, righteous without the law. Then verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, it's unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. That means there's no difference between Jew and Gentile anymore. That's a pretty big change. Get up one morning, hey, have you heard the news? What? No more difference between us and them. What? No, God says no more difference. Seriously? Yeah, that's what's happened. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is through or by way of believing pertaining to Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Just like Peter said at that meeting, right? God put no difference between us. Verse 23, guess what? All have sinned. No matter if you're Jew, Gentile, whatever you are, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation, that full payment, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, there's been a change. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. To declare, verse 26 again, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who has believing pertaining to Jesus. Verse 27, well, where's boasting then? Who's going to boast? Remember what we read in Ephesians? By grace you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm saved. Yeah, it's by grace. Where's boasting? It's excluded. By what? Law of works? No, but by the law of believing. Therefore, we conclude, a man is justified by believing without the deeds of the law. Is he a God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it's one God who shall justify the circumcision by believing and uncircumcision through believing. Well, do we make void the law through believing? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. I'd like for you to look now at Romans chapter 10. There's no difference. It was a big change. That's what Paul was preaching. Romans 10, that is just so rich in understanding about salvation. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a great yearning and a desire for his countrymen, Israel, to accept Jesus Christ to be saved. And he knew it wasn't by circumcision or by keeping the law. God revealed the mystery to Paul. You know, it's kind of like us. We would like for people in our country, in our state, in our city, our neighborhood, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're very zealous, very committed, but it says not according to knowledge. Well, they had some knowledge. You can't be zealous for something that you don't know anything about, right? Must not have been the right knowledge. And he tells them that they're ignorant. For they, verse 3, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. He just explains they're ignorant of God's righteousness. And we just read in chapter 3 that God's righteousness comes by believing. And then look at that, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The end of the law. Jesus Christ fulfilled all the law for us. So keeping the law, doing everything in the law to try to be righteous before God is over. It's done. Jesus Christ fulfilled all the law for us. Things had changed, hadn't they? Verse 5, for Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them, but the righteousness which is of or from believing speaks on this wise. Now we're going to talk about the righteousness which is from believing speaks on this wise. This is what it says. Say not in thine heart, who's going to ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? What does the righteousness which is by believing or from believing say? Well, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, the word of believing which we preach. What does the righteousness of believing say? The word is nigh thee, even in the mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word pertaining to that which has been given to be the right way of believing, which we preach. That word faith has the definite article, and it's also the figure of speech, metonymy. And so the understanding is that word pertaining to that which has been given to be the right way of believing, which we preach. And then verse 9 says, here is that right way of believing that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's no mention of circumcision. There's no mention of keeping the law. There's no mention of anything. It's like these two things. Confess, acknowledge, agree. The Lord Jesus, he's Lord of all people, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, how simple our God made it for us. Things have changed, and God made it so easy to be saved. That's why we read in Ephesians earlier, by grace you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace. Now we keep reading, for the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to speak. How shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. See that? The gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who's believed our report? Verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here again is that right way of believing with the definite article there. By the way, just so you know, in many of the critical Greek texts, the word God at the end of verse 17 here, many of the critical Greek texts have the word Christ. And that fits with the context of what we're talking about. And this section, this little small section that began in verse 8. So verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in the mouth and in thy heart. That is the word pertaining to that which has been given to be the right way of believing, which we preach. And then it concludes this little section, verse 17. So then the right way of believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word pertaining to Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And God shows us clearly, it's believing pertaining to Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. And God made it so easy. In verse 9, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. That's it. Quite a change. Before we finish up where we started in Acts 15, look at Acts 16 for a moment. Acts 16. This is when Paul got arrested in Philippi and they threw him in jail. And then there was the earthquake. The jailer was going to kill himself. And Paul said, hey, don't, we're fine. The jailer asked a really interesting question. He brought them out, verse 30. We're in Acts 16, verse 30. And brought them out. And this is the jailer, said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, get circumcised and keep the whole Testament law. Come to my fellowship every week. Take the classes that we offer. Be a part of our denomination. Make sure you bring in your tithes and your offerings. Make sure. What did he say? Believe. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and your whole house. That's not really the answer you might hear at some churches today from some preachers. You might not hear that answer. Pastor, what do I need to be saved? Well, let me tell you. I've got a whole sheet for you here. Here's the program. Jesus Christ is the end of the law. He fulfilled the law for us. You know, speaking of the law, remember when they asked Jesus Christ, what's the greatest commandment? They weren't, you know, asking to learn anything. They were trying to trip him up. He said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On those two hang a whole law. Any other questions? And, you know, Romans 13 says that love is the fulfilling of the law. It says the same thing in Galatians, that love is the fulfilling of the law. So, we love God and we love people. And, you know, loving God would include loving and believing his word, wouldn't it? Sure. Especially his written word pertaining to the gospel, the good news concerning his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the first century, we can go back to Acts 15 if you like. In the first century, there were some people that had a real hard time accepting this big change that had happened. So we didn't live back then, and that's nice. Hope they figured it out. A lot of them didn't. But today, in our day and time, in the lots of Christian churches, you know, they might say, yes, you need to accept Christ. But there's some other things you need to do if you really want to be saved, if you want to make it to heaven. There's things you need to do and things you must not do. If you really want to be righteous before God in his eyes, we just read in Romans, we are righteous. Not by our works, but by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made us righteous. So back then it was keeping the Old Testament law today, you know, there's all kinds of rules and regulations. There's all kinds of ceremonies and traditions, list of good works to do. You need to do this, do that. But of course, God's word encourages us to do good works. I'm not questioning that. God's word says we should love and serve one another. As born again ones, we have the freedom and liberty to do good works or not. We have the liberty and freedom to utilize the rights, privileges, and abilities that God's word says we have as born again ones or not. But our salvation, our eternal life, that is permanent, it's set, it's sealed, period. We can go our whole lives and do nothing. Is Jesus Christ still going to pick us up? Yep, he's going to pick up the whole family. But why not? But why not? This great liberty that God has given to us to do whatever we want to do. Really? Oh, some preachers wouldn't like you saying that. But as we have the freedom, we all have free will, whether we're born again or not born again, whether we know the Bible or don't, we all have free will. We can do whatever we want. And the great freedom that we have that God has given us, we can do whatever we want to do or not. It says in Romans, what, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So back in Acts 15, we're going to pick it up in verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters to them after this manner. So here's how the letter went. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings to the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. So this communication that came from Jerusalem, from the apostles, it was specifically noting the Gentile believers, the people that were Gentiles that got born again, that were in not only Antioch, but Syria and Cilicia. For as much, verse 24, as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, we're all in agreement here, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. So we're sending this letter, and then these guys are coming from Jerusalem, Judas and Silas, and they'll say the same thing. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, to God, and to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. You should abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. Verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation, for the encouragement. They're like, this is great. I don't know what those bozos were talking about when they came up here, but this is great to hear. 32, and Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. So that's pretty much how that record ended. Pretty cool. If we try to live under the guidelines of the Garden of Eden times, how's that going to work? I don't even know where it is. Or if we try to live during the patriarchal times or under the times of the Old Testament law, it doesn't profit us because we'll be missing out on what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. There's been a major change. And again, I mentioned at the beginning, the greatest understanding of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us in the book of Acts and especially the seven church epistles. In Christianity today, there are lots of different denominations, a whole bunch. There's lots of traditions and ceremonies. Some people teach things that are absolutely not in line with what the gospel, the word of God, to the born-again ones. Why is that? I don't say this to be critical, but it's due to ignorance or immaturity. That's what Paul said in Romans 10, ignorance, right? They being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, they've not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. It's a wrong understanding or a misapplication of the scriptures. And that's why I'd like to close in 1 Timothy 2 this morning. 1 Timothy 2. We may not know everything in the Bible. No one does, except God. But I tell you what we do know, we're saved by grace. That's real apparent in the scriptures. What if someone, because of what they've been taught or whatever, thinks, believes in their heart, I've got to get water baptized. Okay, do it. It's not going to hurt them if that's what you want to do. Well, I thought you were supposed to pray on your knees. Okay, you can. Well, I read Paul got on his knees and prayed. Okay. When I grew up, you're supposed to pray like this. You have to put your hands together when you're praying. I asked why one time. It said so that your words hit your... and go up. All kinds of stuff. I know that when Peter went to Cornelius' house, he preached to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They accepted it. They accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They believed God raised him from the dead. That's what Peter taught. And guess what? They received God's gift of Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues. And that's how they knew that those guys were born again. There's a lot of stuff, but I don't want to be critical of people. I want to look for people that would like more understanding. And we just love everybody, and we don't get cocky about what we know. Well, I know what that word faith means, because that's the figure of speech metonymy, and it's used with the genitive. Okay, that's nice, but I just want to help people learn God's word. So do you, right? That's what we want to do. Give people a little better understanding. And that's in line with this last verse that I want to share from Timothy. Verse 4 says, talking about God, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Great for people to get born again. God made that so easy. Could do it in a second or two. God made it so easy. But God not only wants people saved, but he wants them to come to a knowledge of the truth, understand the truth, the gospel, the good news regarding God's Son, Jesus Christ. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Get a knowledge of the gospel. That's God's desire. Is for people to get saved and get the information they need. Some people are hungry for a lot of information. Some people aren't. That's okay. We just live our lives loving God, enjoying the big change that happened on the day of Pentecost. And guess what? There's another huge change coming. And it's going to happen real fast. God's word says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, boom, God is going to send Jesus Christ to come and pick us up. It could be today. I hope so. Father, thank you for your wonderful word and for the great salvation that you've made available to us. Thanks for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did all the heavy lifting for us, and that you made salvation and eternal life so easy. Thanks, Father, for blessing all the folks here, those on the hookup, those that might hear it later. Thanks for the privilege of sharing a little bit of your word with your people this morning. May we have a blessed week, and maybe this week we end up in the clouds. Thank you for your love for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.